it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Presented by Under Armour and Sleeper Fantasy, welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we got a special guest today.
Yes, sir.
We're a week away from the trade deadline, 10 days away from the Super Bowl. It's about that time of year. We're hanging out. We got to get our guy from The Athletic, Dave Dufour, here. Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited to be here. It's been too long.
It has been too long. I'm always like walking the line between I don't want to be that annoying person who pings to you to come on every month on the show, but also you're like one of the most requested guests. So I got to ask you.
I would do this show once a month. I would actually just book it once a month. Like you, I mean, number one, it's hardly like work, you know, talking to you guys. And I mean, this year especially this is a fascinating season for the Warriors. You know,
one way to put it. That's not the word either of us would.
It's a depressing season. I mean, it's very sad, obviously. Like they're going through so much shit. But just from a basketball perspective, man, like they are in it's a weird place that you just don't expect when you got a guy who's as good as Steph and Draymond's still so good. Like I just don't understand.
That'd be great.
I mean, God damn, I'm jumping the gun here.
He needs to play. He needs to play a little bit. So
years of not signing good players and not drafting well is all coming to. It's like a train wreck right now, man. It's crazy.
It's funny how that works, right? Like you stop getting good players, eventually you will not have good players on the roster.
Weird.
You know, it's insane. It does feel like, you know. So we're a week away from the trade deadline, and if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd be like, man. Something's happening. I don't know what it is. Andy and I might be depressed. It might be them selling off spare parts to the offseason. But I don't know. The last couple days, the vibe out of the team has been completely different. I'm sure you've noticed, but since they've switched to the Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond front court, they look like the Warriors. They look like what we assume them to be. They're running over. Yeah, they're only 2-2. We don't need to get into that in that span, but it's like they do feel like they're discovering identity, and it does feel like they're potentially on the verge of a little mini run to get themselves back into it. If this is true, I'm just saying, and now you got, you know, our guy, Steve Kerr out here. I'm going to play the video.
Oh boy.
Talking about how, you know, he doesn't
he
want anyone
always
to get
so disappointed. His face is just constant disappointment.
He looks like second term president these days with the war. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, oh, he's tired. He's tired.
I mean, he's on term three, man. Like this is.
That's true. He's in FDR rounds right now. let me play the video real quick.
All right. Not too long ago, but it seems to have died down a little bit. What do you make of his situation and where he's playing, how he's playing right now?
I think he's playing well. And, you know, I'm very hopeful, and I expect him to be here when the trade deadline passes. I think he's been a big part of our team now for years, helped us win a title a year and a half ago, still has a lot of career ahead of him, and so I'm really hoping Wiggs is here, and as I said, I fully expect him to be here, but you know, I don't know of any player gets to go through his entire career and not see his name in a trade rumor. You know, Steph probably did early in his career, you know, but right now probably not. But, you know, this is part of the gig, and it's not easy, especially on the families when someone's trade name is mentioned in trade chatter, but part of the deal.
He's said it in a couple interviews. I figure I don't need to play all of them. They're all kind of along the same lines of Wiggs, integral part of the team, starting to figure it out. 2 weeks ago, it looked like he was for sure gone player. Yeah. I don't know how much I buy Steve into this. We are a week away from the deadline. But man, it does feel like, and when I say I don't buy, I say I don't know how much I buy. His word is the final word to make said decision. But I do believe he wants to keep him around.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact is, like, Wiggins has played better in the last 2 weeks. And I think as a coach, he probably is seeing some, you know, feeling some optimism that he isn't going to get traded because he's been playing better the last few weeks. I don't know how they replace Wiggins. This is the biggest thing about trading Wiggins. Like, I made a joke a few weeks back about just trading him for John Collins, because it was like, ah, everybody hates Wiggins right now. Everybody hates John Collins all the time, it seems. So why not just swap problems and see how it works out? But the truth is, like, what Wiggins does is so much, it has so much value to every team, including the Warriors, that I just don't think that they can give him up and get like value in return.
Yeah.
Like, at their best, they need Wiggins.
Yep, that's it right there. Is if they trade him, they're trading him to get off the contract, and they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that because I think they told Wiggins you're gone if you don't, and Wiggins said, oh, okay, maybe I should start trying. maybe I should play fucking defense. Maybe I should make some free throws. And he essentially just
kind of saved run. His
yeah, I mean, so I think he probably saved his tenure here. But again, they could trade him again next year, right? They could do this dance again. But I think, yeah, for sure, I think 99.9% he is going to stay a Warrior until the offseason. Good for him. Good for him.
I'm still not so sure. But it does feel to me like 2 weeks ago, the front office was about to be like, look, man, you guys aren't even going to make the play-in. We might as well get off of him so we have the ability to regroup and find a different player. Now it's less and less. And I guarantee you they are getting pressure from Kerr and Steph to say, hey, if you're not going to upgrade him, just let us keep the roster till the end of the season. Because we're starting to figure something out, and we'll see where this goes.
Yeah, well, this is why it was super important that they began starting Wiggins and Kuminga together, because that is for this iteration of the Warriors, they need those guys to be able to play 30 minutes together, right? Like, they need them, the two of them.
It's the highest upside. It's the highest upside.
Should have done it game three. Should have done it game one.
Well, of course. I just should have been doing it last year. You know, like, I mean, I could go on and on and
shout
on.
Shout out to Anthony Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's kind of insane. I mean, it's similar to the Moody's. I would say this. You've got a worse situation with Moody than you do with Wiggins, in my opinion, because Wiggins at least gets minutes. He gets an opportunity.
Yep.
Moody doesn't even get a chance. And now, like, I mean, he's, like, buried. You almost need to just for him, for his career, let him move. You have to maybe trade Moody just so he has a shot at making it in the NBA. He's so clearly an NBA rotation player and can't get in the rotation here. And it drives me insane to see. But I just think about this kid's career. I mean, he's so early into his NBA career, and everyone sees that this is a guy, he's a 10-year vet, rotation guy, does all the stuff that makes role players stick in the NBA, and for some reason can't play on a team that needs dudes like Moody. I just don't get it.
That's my number one guy. That's gone at the trade line. If I had to guess, that's the number one guy.
And it sucks because he could help this team. And how many games did they lose in the early part of the season sticking with Wiggins and 45-year-old Chris Paul and all the different things they're doing when Moody was giving them good minutes just to blow it to the Sacramento Kings by 20 and all that sort of stuff. My whole thing is, when I'm looking at this, I get the optimism about this lineup. Doesn't it just lead them to being stuck in the middle still? Aren't they just kind of sitting there? And I don't want to be the person saying, screw this season, throw it away. But like, okay, Andrew Wiggins is starting to figure it out. What's going to stop him from going back into this lull again? What's, like, that's who he's been majority of his career. 2022 was the exception, not the rule. And part of me sitting here going like, all right, you figured something out. Your best case is you get on a run, you make the play-in, you win through the play-in, maybe you win a round in the playoffs, and you're still a little stuck. Don't you just want to start the process of finding that other impact player to help Steph now? Because what we're talking about is, like, Steph's still phenomenal. Guys are getting old, and the guys they're counting on to be impact players are either too young or 28 and historically inconsistent.
But what are you getting trading Wiggins that that helps you get the impact guy? You're not getting anything. Like, you're getting what, 2 seconds and like an expiring?
Maybe, I mean, are you going to loop in multiple teams and maybe you wind up with Dorian Finney-Smith? I'd rather have Wiggins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you play it out that way, it's like, I'd rather gamble on him having figuring it out for a month than the opposite, right?
It feels like a repeat of the Jordan Poole one, right? It feels like, hey, they just got to get off Jordan Poole, different reasons, but they got to get off Jordan Poole so they get Chris Paul as an expiring. Like, that's kind of what they had to do. And actually, Chris Paul has been good as a basketball player this season, but like, you're not getting anything there. Now, actually, though, let's say they trade Chris Paul as an expiring for someone else at the deadline in the offseason, then you're like, okay, like that could be the move. So maybe that's that. But then like they already have expired. They already have the Clay expiring and the Chris Paul expiring. So I'd imagine can they even get a first for Wiggins? Like, no, and not at all.
I mean,
no chance, right?
You got to think about, it's not so much, it's not really about Wiggins. It's about the other team, right? So the teams that need a Wiggins, Cleveland, right? Like if Andrew Wiggins is in Cleveland, like that team is real good, right? They get better immediately. Maybe they give up a first to get Wiggins. But you are at, if you're the Warriors and you're trading Wiggins out, you're really going to make a contender better, because a bad team isn't going to give up anything for Andrew Wiggins. Like, he's not young enough to be a part of a young core. He's not a number one guy. So it's not like, oh, we're a guy away. Let me give up a couple first. Like,
right.
He's
not, we're playing for now. We're going to give up our future. Yeah.
Right. And so like, it's almost more of, it's not an OG Anunoby situation either, you know, where you get three firsts. He just doesn't have that sort of reputation. I mean, it really is, unfortunately, would be more of a dump move unless you, again, you find a guy that you like, who's maybe underperforming somewhere else, and you can figure that out, right? We'll just shop underperforming pieces all around the league and figure out where the pieces could fall. I just don't know, but I stand on Wiggins being the best option for the Warriors, regardless of trade. They're just, unless they're going to make a trade for LeBron James, in which case, Andrew Wiggins, pack your bags. LeBron on the team would actually solve a lot of problems for them.
Well, I don't even care if it solves problems. I just want to see it. I don't even care. I don't even root for a championship. I just want to see those two guys. I mean, it's good for the podcast. Selfishly, it's good for Sam and I.
Good for everything. You guys going to run LeBron out of town, though?
He'll run us out of town, actually, is probably more likely. He'll get our podcast shut down in 2 weeks.
He'll bite back. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're ready for that battle.
Yeah, I don't think we can handle Clutch Mafia.
I'm sharing a tweet from one of our guys, Loyal Lightyears,
sir.
Goon, Fake Logic. And Steve Kerr was going off about how the team lacked grit, and he's loved how they've responded since then. And it's just worth calling out. Like, yeah, they feel like they've discovered something. Draymond solves a lot of problems because, newsflash, he's a really good player. He does a lot of really good things. And it feels better watching him. And they still went 5-7 in January. You know, they're still 2-3 since Draymond returned. Small sample. Wouldn't be shocked if they won 4 in a row to run it off. But all this is like pointing me back to this idea of like, man, if you get everyone going, are they actually still that good? And I still don't think the answer is yes. I still don't think we're like, oh man, if Wiggins just stays on the course and they get Chris Paul back healthy and a couple other things, it's like, I'm not buying that this is that high of an upside that you have to be protective over every piece, which is kind of my... We're a week away from the deadline. I'm now thinking they're not going to do anything. And it's just kind of like, cool. Well,
they probably feel that if they get to the playoffs, they can beat any team. Which is probably
Clay's
going to
talk
right?
about game six.
That's
right. We know it's going to happen. He's going to do this one like 18 times.
It's probably true, but it's not what I would bank on. You know, I mean, they're just not good enough to go into any series and be favored. Not against, you know, like the Nuggets. No way. They're not going to be favored in that series. Thunder might be close because you've got the age. And I mean, just let's just be honest. Like that does matter.
Sure.
Minnesota. Like, I don't know that they'd be favored against Minnesota. Like, sure. I mean,
because they're not actually that young. Ant's young with the rest of the team.
Ant's young, but he doesn't play like it. You know, fourth quarter of games when Ant puts his head down and wants to go to the basket, that's why you need Wiggins and Kuminga and them playing together. Like, for every single matchup they're going to have, because for some reason, the city of San Francisco has made it illegal, I think, to have basketball players that are taller than 6'8". Is that right? Is that what
the that was on the ballot in 2018.
The school board put that one in there, and we can't do anything.
When Zaza retired, they decided to,
they said,
no one taller than Zaza.
You know how San Francisco politics works? That one's not moving.
They said, look, you can have tall people everywhere, but not in my backyard, buddy.
Hey, that was good. Well done. Yeah, now that. Yep, that
that's,
was.
That's
was,
a man. That's a man that who's been here once or twice.
But I mean, the truth is, man, like, they just need as many of their athletes to play as possible because they don't have the size, right? This is why Kuminga and what he's been doing, especially in the paint, for them has been huge, because that's making Steph's life easier. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Steph looks better the last few weeks when Kuminga has been going off the way he has, because he just hasn't had a foil to play next to. He hasn't had someone, you know, a release valve that you're scared of. And Kuminga has provided that, man. I mean, just the fact that he's a guy who will go and try to bully to get a basket. I mean, when has Steph had the opportunity to play with a dude like that? So I can understand them wanting to stick with it and saying, we're in any series. And they're not totally wrong to feel that way. This is, you know, four titles. That does give you a certain amount of confidence. Yeah. And, you know, you got to trust the coaching staff and the scout, and they're always prepared. So I guess I can understand, because if I was sitting in Steve Kerr's shoes, I wouldn't want to lose any of my guys either. I'd be playing Moody, so I don't know. I mean,
I think everybody agrees with that one. I guess the one thing we can maybe all agree on here, though, is there does have to be a supplementary move to at least help this team, at least some of the weaknesses, mainly, I think, the big man. Right. Like, at least they've got to find some type of person. Seeing as I think Kevon Looney looks like he's done for the season, like, Saric is really bad as a five. Can you get someone that helps the team out? I think that's the one thing you can agree on. It's like, I think I'd argue maybe against them, like, hey, you know, maybe you can't get anything for Wiggins, but like, can you help these guys out with a 7-footer, Dave? Like, what you just said, can you help?
Mo Bamba coming to town.
Stop.
Okay. You know, Goga Batazde would have been a great player for the Warriors if he wasn't showing out in Orlando and is, you know, now basically, I think, unavailable. But, you know, a guy like that,
I'd take Wendell Carter also. I mean,
Wendell Carter, any big body that can just, like, are you a rotation big man in the NBA? Come on down.
Our Under Armour matchup of the week is Saturday against the Atlanta Hawks. Feels like perfect timing, considering Warriors are, if nothing else, going to be involved in rumors until the trade deadline. And it does feel like everything's running through Atlanta right now. They have the best available player that we know of, DeJounte Murray. They're basically letting everyone know that he's available.
So is he.
Yeah. He's also posting it periodically twice a week on his stories. And I think this game's also kind of important for the Warriors because, look, they're still in the 12 seed. You have to win in Atlanta. These are the games they can't. They've just dropped too many games. If they're going to make something in this season, I don't expect you to win on the road against Boston. I expect you to go into the 11 seed in the East and win a game that way. You just beat them at home. They seem to hate each other, which is why they're blowing it up. That's got to be an easy win for the Warriors. That's why it's the Under Armour game of the week.
It is also the Under Armour game of the week because DeJounte Murray will be dropping 45 points in an audition to play for perhaps his future team, Clint Capella. Maybe he will lose 10 pounds before the game to show that he can also be the starting five for his future team. So, yes, Sam, the Under Armour game of the week brought to you by our guy, Dirty Curry Brand.
The man who makes it all happen.
They can pick up Clint Capella maybe while they're in Atlanta. Just come on. Let's go.
That's the goal.
Man, I've solved a lot of problems.
Just don't tell San Francisco that you're over 6'8". Don't let them know.
Don't tell him a lot of things. All right, hold on, hold on, hold on. Before we get back to it, we are brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy NBA season. We are near the halfway point, if not already at the halfway point, which means now you can 100x your cash on daily fantasy basketball. Basketball, never been more exciting with guys like Steph. You got LeBron, you got Luka, you got KD, future Warrior LeBron James, by the way. You can pick more or less on stats for these stars like points, rebounds, threes, steals, double-doubles, and more for up to 100x payout on Sleeper. Get your picks right, win big. You know the promo code LIGHTYEARS and you'll get up to $100 match on your first deposit. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Currently operational in over 25 states. Check out Sleeper today.
I think the other reason I'm less and less optimistic the Warriors will make a trade is it's very clear that their front office wants to make the perfect move. They're not into just making a move. And that just adds another layer of complexity on top of it. Like, they're really expensive. Coach wants certain players. Stuff's not really out there for them. And then on top of it, they're a little gun shy and afraid that if they make the wrong move, that'll screw them for eternity. You can laugh at that, but look at the Lakers. You make too many moves, you just have nothing going for you going forward. Although, I would like to have Anthony Davis on the Warriors, so that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Anyway, and so that's where, you know, we mentioned DeJounte Murray. I believe the Warriors could trade for him. I think they have a better offer than the Lakers, for example, but would they want to? That this seems like the textbook type of thing where the front office is like, eh, we'd be giving up a lot for someone who wouldn't move the needle too much for us. So now I'm going to get into my trade machine.
Oh gosh.
It's just like I hate to be that guy.
Yeah, that's a trade.
Dave is amped up. Look at him.
You throw Jake Moody in this trade too. We'll be good to go, man.
We're helping all the Bay Area teams.
Yeah, we are. Yes, we are.
Finally, no. You know, Kevon Looney going back to Atlanta.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, if the rumors are to be reported, Atlanta gets off a bunch of money by the Warriors sending Chris Paul. They get a prospect in Moses Moody who makes a ton of sense next to Trae Young. And they get a lot of the Warriors' future, which looks, in terms of draft picks, which might be attractive. In return, they also clear a ton of money. So this would require the Warriors to be invested in this. The Warriors would get DeJounte Murray and Clint Capella, who we're just not going to tell people is over 6'8 because it's illegal. I don't know. I just feel like this is the type of thing that maybe the Warriors could do. It'd be a huge gamble because you'd be giving away long-term picks when Steph is 39. You might not be good at all. And is DeJounte good enough to carry the mantle for you at that time? Is Kuminga DeJounte? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a big risk move, right?
Yeah. I mean, DeJounte, the contract is great, I think, for DeJounte, right? Like, he's not going to
– very reasonable. You know,
it's long-term money, but it's good long-term money. Like, I don't think DeJounte Murray is going to stop being a decent starter.
It's not a max contract. It's just right. Very good starter money. Yeah.
If he winds up as your third or fourth best guy in, like, 2 or 3 years, that's okay. Like, that's okay. You can live with that. The issue is, does it move the needle enough this year? Because it's all about now, right?
And that's my question.
Think about times without Steph Curry.
And that's my question for you. If you're going to give up picks 3-4 years down the road, you want to feel that you're going to get a real chance to win a title in this year, next year, maybe the year after, while Steph is still Steph, right? Would adding someone like DeJounte Murray and then Clint Capella would be that role playing center that they lack? Would that actually be enough? Or is this one of those things where it's like, you're the Lakers. You change the decks, but you're right. Kind of just the same. Scary because you have Steph Curry, but not actually a great team.
The interesting part of this is I do think it brings them back to what made them successful their entire dynastic run. Is you can toss out a lineup, or at least 6 to 7 guys, where now you're talking about Wiggins, Kuminga, to go with Clay, who's still good defensively against threes and fours. And then you throw in DeJounte Murray, who can cover for Steph. Now you're covering for Steph for like 48 minutes a game. Now you have a lot of defense. I know everyone's going to say DeJounte Murray sucks on defense this season, but I'm just going to assume that he's just goofing off in Atlanta because it's Atlanta, and he's going to be serious.
He also plays next to Trae Young, man. Is better this year. I'll give him a ton of credit.
Oh,
but Trae Young is never going to be good at defense. He's never even going to be average. Too small.
He's more worried about scoring 25 points. Yeah, so that's why it brings him back a little bit to, all right, we got a bunch of 6'5 to 6'8 guys. Right, yeah, exactly. 6'8-ish guys that are, you know, relatively athletic, super long, can play defense. Draymond's going to tie them all together with his IQ. And now you've got a team that, yeah, like Sam talked about, are you happy enough with the first-round exit with what they have today? I would say probably, because at least they make the playoffs. This team, if you can get off of Paul and you know, give Moody a shot somewhere else and get Murray and Capella, yeah, you're probably saying this is probably like the Lakers, where maybe they get lucky and they make the Western Conference Finals. Maybe they do. And I think I take that gamble. The question, though, for me, I think for the Warriors, is that I don't know if they take the gamble of two things. Murray's long-term contract and the two first-round picks. You can argue whether that's unfair or not fair. I just think they're just going to be like,
I wouldn't be worried about DeJounte's contract. I mean, that is an extremely movable deal. I mean, it's
okay.
He's a starter in the NBA, $18 million a year. That's amazing. Like, that's a great contract.
It goes up to mid 20s next year.
Still a great contract.
That's Wiggins, Draymond Wiggins money. Contract. That's
Clay
it's
money.
Basically, it's plus starter, but not quite an all-star money.
Yeah, that's a good deal for him. I mean, he's a good player. The issue is, you know, is he your sixth man after this trade?
I mean,
is Clint Capella even starting? I mean, he's probably not, right? Clint Capella probably slides into that at Kevon Looney, 13 minutes at center role.
Ask Clay to come off the bench and let DeJounte start?
I don't think that you can do that. I mean, number one, I think it actually hampers your offense. But number two, I actually think it's important to have a guy like DeJounte Murray who can – like, he's still going to play 30 minutes a game coming off the bench. Yeah. And you can close with him against some teams. He can play next to Steph sometimes, right? Like, let's say, I mean, if you have a game where Wiggins just doesn't have
it. A big point guard who can defend, right?
So. Yeah. If you got a game where Wiggins doesn't have it, man, like, he can play, like, next to Clay and Steph. And now you've got another ball handler that you can trust. He's a great rebounder. And that's something that I think the Warriors like can always use is another DeJounte guard.
And Pods together. Ooh. And Pajemski. Nice. Yeah.
That would be, I mean, listen, it's an imperfect move, but that's not a bad move. I think that the sticking point is those two first round picks, especially, man, because 2028, like, they're in, Steph Curry's not there anymore, you know? Not in whatever capacity.
Retirement tour. Yeah. And I don't know if this is what it would take to do something like this, but I was kind of, here's my fundamental question to you, Dave. Let's assume the picks work themselves out. It's a different conversation. Let's say the Warriors make a deal like this. What do you think of the Warriors roster as constructed? So you have Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond. Then you got DeJounte Murray, Clint Capella, and some version of Pajemski and Saric as your eighth, ninth men. I think that's a nice playoff rotation. I think it makes sense. You got versatility. You can play different ways. You can actually play big if you have to, or you can just play your small ball when you want to. Is that a team that has championship upside, though? Because I can only see the Warriors greenlighting moves like this if they feel like it has. Oh. They're not greenlighting this move to get to the second round. They're greenlighting this because they think this team around Steph is going to get number five.
I think a lot of this, I mean, it's funny to say this, but if like Gary Payton II can come back and give them good minutes, I think that, you know what I mean? It really helps them out quite a bit. It's hard for me to, even with these moves, put them above the top couple teams in the West. I mean, the Nuggets are just, they're just really good. And I think the Clippers are right there with the Nuggets right now. Kawhi Leonard playing like the best player in the world, you know, on some nights is that's a huge thing for them. I just don't know, you know, it's the Warriors, and you know that their system is going to create buckets and Steph is going to go off. Can the other guys keep up the same
way? I was going to say, nothing can really get you there because you can't give Clay his ligaments back and you can't make Jonathan Kuminga 3 years older. like that. And oh, sorry, and Wiggins. You can't bring back 2022 Wiggins. So it's like those are the three things where it's if you can bring back, like, what's the likeliest? Let's rank them. Obviously, Clay's the last, just not possible. That doesn't even make sense. But yeah, like Kuminga, he's already made a bit of a leap. Like, can he get to the point where he's a winning star player, or Wiggins going back to 2022? You're kind of hoping for those things, because I don't know. Like, can they make a trade that puts them over the edge? Like, this DeJounte Murray one is interesting to me, but I obviously doesn't do it. It's like, I don't know.
What if there's like, I mean, again, we talked about this on Nerder this week. We kind of think it might be a quiet trade deadline. I mean, if you think about it, we've already had a bunch of major trades this year. Like Damian Lillard got traded, James Harden, OG, Pascal. So the big names have already kind of moved, and the Warriors missed out on those guys. And so now, you know, you're looking at it's slim pickings. But what if there's a name out there we're not thinking of? Like, I made the joke about LeBron, but what if there is, like, I don't know, what if Kevin Durant's saying to Phoenix, hey guys, I got to get out of here, and we don't, you know, again? What I mean? Like, this is, I think, what the Warriors really, like, they must be hoping for this, right?
No,
like,
the LeBron one, they'll okay it. The LeBron one, they'll okay it. That's the easy home run, like, quote unquote.
Would you give up two future firsts for LeBron right now?
No. Sam, no. Question.
No,
would they?
Would they?
Zero chance. Well, he's a free agent in the well.
And you're gonna sign Bronny, I mean, too.
Wink, wink. He's not gonna be like he's not gonna be gone in the offseason if you trade for him.
I don't know, but I do think that the logic you're using is why they would never do the DeJounte move, because DeJounte is good, but probably not good enough to be that piece unless Jonathan Kuminga takes a he turns into like Jaylen Brown tomorrow or something like Jaylen that.
Williams, shit, whichever.
But
Jalen Rose at this point, I'm taking any Jalen, right?
But they're sitting here going, you know, if we're gonna cash in those picks, we want it to be the guy who, and they'd probably want, like, I would say Lowry Markkanen is like the lowest level of player they would want if they're gonna make that, like, because they don't have any moves to make after that. Once they make that,
three picks minimum for Lowry.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that's not doing it either. Yeah.
And that's the point. It's like, you know, once you make that move, you're pot committed. This better be the guy who's Steph's like running mate, since Clay is kind of not that guy anymore. I guess let's talk Kuminga for a minute. How do you feel about that?
All right.
I mean, huge fan. Love watching him play basketball. It's so great.
Ooh, okay.
It's so new to see him play basketball.
More than Anthony Lamb?
I haven't seen Anthony Lamb play basketball at all this year, so that's been a pleasant change.
I'll send you a stream. We can watch the New Zealand Breakers together. I was going to ask you, so what are you thinking of his play this year? And I guess, where do you envision him developing as a player? Because he's been on a tear in January. He's definitely taken a step. He's definitely solidifying himself in the rotation, but there's probably mixed opinions on what type of player he'll be long-term.
You know, I think, the jury is out, obviously. I mean, the early part of his career has been so weird. You know, usually a guy with it that's this good that we've seen this many flashes of has had more of an opportunity to show it.
Right.
But what we've been seeing the last few weeks, it just looks like they said, hey, please go do stuff. Just go make stuff happen. And he's doing it. I mean, the defensive side of the ball is getting lost in all this. I mean, this guy the other day, now, unfortunately, hurt Joel Embiid's knee, you know, diving for the ball. But, I mean, it feels like every other defensive play, this guy's on the ground or he's digging hard when the ball's in the paint and he's going and getting steals. And just he's really like a bit of a chaos agent for them. You know, he's so strong and he's so physical and he's so aggressive. And
a necessary one, by the way.
Yeah, they've lacked it, right? Like, they haven't had it. And he's kind of it's almost like he's a good running mate for Draymond, where it's another dog on the court that you can rely on. He's going to go do stuff. And then what I really love is the aggressiveness on defense translates on the offensive end when he's got the ball and he's in his his triple threat stance, right? And he can drop his shoulder into a guy and create some space. He's looking to get to the paint. I mean, he is just going hard, trying to dunk. I mean, someone flopped on him the other day and he just dunked, you know, without hesitation. Those sorts of moments for him are huge, because that's when you really see that the quick decision-making stuff. He's like learning it on the fly. And again, it's stuff that most guys get a chance to go through their first couple of years in the league. the Warriors being very hard to break into because of all the basketball IQ expectations. And, you know, like you're not actually allowed to make mistakes as a young player for the Warriors. So now you can see he's stopped internalizing those mistakes. He's willing to make them, but he does so many things that they're allowing him now to play through them. So I don't know. I mean, I'm extremely high on Jonathan Kuminga. I think he was a great pickup for them. And I think this guy, I mean, he could turn into the guy that's the star of the team going forward, you know, like beyond Steph, right? Like, but he could be the running mate for Steph as early as next year. He's got to continue to grow.
I needed that.
I love him as a player. He can score. The shooting stuff is whatever, but like, he can score from 18 feet and in against anybody. He's got a great first step. He's incredibly strong. I think he's got good hands. I mean, it's a matter of figuring out how that works and how to maximize that around Steph. I think Steph is maximizing what Kuminga's doing hugely. I mean, again, the last few games, Steph has looked way better than he looked the rest of the season. I felt like he was slipping a little bit. His defense has definitely slipped, but even offensively, those windows have gotten tighter. I mean, he's already operating in tight margins anyway, but with Clay not being Clay and Wiggins not doing anything for you, I mean, Kuminga has now opened him up a little bit
more. Yeah, I like that. How about defensively?
For Kuminga?
Yeah, because he's got the tools.
Yeah, right, he's forceful. I love – and he's active. His second jump, trying to block shots and change shots around the basket. He's added rim protection. This is – again, like Wiggins was good at this. Like Wiggins was a fantastic rim protector during that run to the finals. I mean, this is why – I mean, he really, like, made Draymond better because of that. But I think Kuminga's offering a little bit of the same thing. Okay. So, look, they've got a shot in a playoff series against anybody. Do I trust them to not be in the play-in as currently constructed? No. They've got too much – and one
I love,
game –
I love it.
Like, I trust I them in a series, but one not game make is the tough. Plan. Right? Like, that's the thing, though. Because one game is just tough for them. I mean, what if that's the game that Kuminga throws a pass away in the first possession and he goes and he plays 13 minutes that night?
Chris Paul, get up. You're coming in. And that's the other part, which is annoying, because Chris Paul's been out. But we know where Steve goes when things get tight. I mean, most coaches actually skew that way, to be honest. But just such a veteran guy. Such a, you know. And so to your point, what happens when they get into a tight game? Yeah, and Kuminga has, you know, he starts a little tight, makes a couple mistakes, just whatever. Not like Draymond isn't throwing the ball over the place too.
How about Steph Curry, man? He throws some of the dumbest passes I've ever seen in my life. And I, again, like we've talked about this.
The line between genius and insanity is very small.
It's a good way to describe Steph. Again, man, I trust those things to shake out, like those decisions. They shake out over the course of a 7-game series. So if you bench Kuminga in one game, man, like, I don't know, he's gonna have an amazing game at some point in the series. But in one game, it's a magnifying glass on every single decision you make because you don't have time for things to shake themselves out. You're going to play Chris Paul over Kuminga in a crucial moment, and Chris Paul's going to be short.
Yep. Thank you. That's all.
And then you get one shot at it. You do it one game out of 7? Oh, man. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to learn from that. You do it in one game in single elimination, your ass is going home.
Yep. No, we've seen it in many games already this season. They don't learn from it, Dave. So
good. The podium apology, my personal favorite. I take responsibility. I should have had Kuminga.
Fuck off.
He's done that with – that's why I feel bad for Moody. He apologized to Moody on the podium twice this year. Just play him, Steve.
Wake up.
Just play him a little bit.
Wake up.
Kuminga needs to complain that Moody's not playing enough. And that's what seems to change things.
So. I think Moody's he's complained enough, just not publicly, I think.
You know what's funny is Moody would be great next to Trae Young. What a great compliment for Trae Young, right? Like, he's going to shoot 45% from three if he goes to Atlanta.
He'd fit a lot of teams. He's a pretty easy plug-and-play player, which is why it's so infuriating that they can't figure out how to plug him in and play.
Only in the postseason. Yeah. Only in the postseason.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, too. We're not going to play him all year. Then we get into a playoff matchup and realize, oh, yeah, he's one of the 7 players who can play in the series.
Just dumbasses.
Don't know why he can't play on a Friday against Memphis, but, you know, when we play against good teams, we need him.
One of these times when I come back, I want you guys to have queued up the year heading into the draft when they had the number two pick, and I said that they should try to get Halliburton and Bain.
Nope, we're not doing that. We will not because do that.
My God, this team, if they had those two guys, we'd be talking. I mean, it would feel like the Celtics in the 60s. Poor decisions.
And we're ending. And
being
we're
made on that. Years ago.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Dave. As always, you have a great day. Tell people where they can find your show if they're not listed already.
Everything's at The Athletic, guys. I mean, you know, we are sports media, and I am Mr. Athletic. So go and follow us, The Athletic NBA Show. We do great stuff. We're doing a lot of fun stuff over on YouTube, too. A lot of hypotheticals, which I don't really get into on pods, so I'm actually having a good time. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. It's my bag now. I've added that to my golf bag. Hypotheticals. Instead of just watching stuff and tell you what I see, I can now think ahead about things that are never going to happen.
1 is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.